Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Hello! And welcome back to Unprepared Casters! Woo. This is episode 0 of Tomb of Corridors.
Corridors,
which we will get into, but first... My name is Haley Whipjack. I am one of the hosts of Unprepared Casters, and I have a co-host.
That's me. I'm the co-host. My name is Amelia Somm.
Wow!
And it always has been.
The whole time?
The whole time.
Holy shit.
Entire time you've known me.
And we are the co-hosts of Unprepared Casters, which is a show that you're listening to. And if this is your first ever episode, that's okay.
Welcome. That's great, actually.
Here, yeah, no, we're stoked.
We're actually really excited you're here.
We're so happy to have you. What we do here is short story arcs, usually between like 6 to 8 episodes. On average, we've got outliers.
Sorry, we like to have fun in the space. We explore the medium. We play different games. We do one shots. We do two shots. We do three shots.
These things happen.
Yeah.
Our episodes are almost always under 2 hours. We try to keep them nice and short for you. Bite-sized gaming.
Nom nom. Largely
Dungeons and Dragons, but we've dipped our toes into other systems. We're back into Dungeons and Dragons for this one. And all of those arcs can be enjoyed independently, though there are often connecting threads. Some of them are more connected than others. Yeah. This one, I believe, is pretty isolated.
It is, like, literally and thematically isolated from the rest of the Unprepared Casters universe. Mm. So if this is your first time listening to Unprepared Casters, this is a great place to just dive in because you're not going to be missing much. And if this isn't your first time listening to Unprepared Casters, don't worry. There'll be cute little Easter eggs and you'll be like, yes. I recognize that proper noun. Everybody else will just be like, wow, what a cool name for something.
What a fun noun. It's not like last arc where we tricked you into thinking it was isolated and then it very wasn't.
Yeah.
This one I think is for real.
It's for real isolated. Like, I mean, it will connect, but like this.
Yeah.
And for reasons that will become clear in a few moments when I talk about the arc, I am going to be real upfront about what's happening in this arc. Because it's
important.
It's different than anything we've run on UC, and it's different than anything I have GM'd in that respect.
Well, would you like then to explain your concept for Tomb of Corridors, a name that sounds very familiar? It sounds almost like a D&D thing I've heard of before.
Almost like a D&D module called Tomb of Horrors.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, this is distinct. This is different. So So Dungeons and Dragons. You've heard of it?
I have.
Okay, we will be playing Dungeons and Dragons mostly because most of my TTRPG time is spent doing actual plays and everyone is doing indie games, which are amazing and I love. I love running them and I love running new systems. I have missed D&D and yeah. Wild Things has also made me miss D&D. So we're going back to old D&D, advanced D&D. We're actually not. We're going to D&D 2024. But
I was going to say, please don't make me play the 80s rules.
Yeah, we're going back to Thaco, bitches.
No!
No, we're not. We're not. We're doing D&D 2024. Okay, so there's this other show I'm on called Critical Lit where we read through old adventure modules, and we read through the adventure module Tomb of Horrors. Tomb of Horrors is kind of an infamous module that was essentially created to, like, humble players who thought they were too good and too smart for D&D dungeons. So it is written in that, I would call it mean-spirited. Perhaps different time is interesting and so is culture. And the culture of D&D has changed a lot since then.
Yes, thankfully.
So I think it's a time, especially when like the relationship between the DM and the players was kind of pitched as more adversarial. Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to beat the GM and the DM is kind of trying to like, you know, I think it's a bit more head to head, whereas now we're really focusing on collaborative storytelling element.
But I feel like storytelling in general, it started as a war game.
Yeah. And Tomb of Horrors is very like, figure out this clever thing, figure out this clever riddle, go through the dungeon. There's also some other problematic stuff in Tomb of Horrors that was bad then and also didn't age well. Things one might call sexist and misogynist, which is a crazy thing because Tomb of Horrors is a dungeon crawl. So you have to go out of your way to add that in there.
Yeah. How do you even manage?
Gary Gygax figured it out.
Talented man.
So on that podcast, we were talking about running the module, and I never really run modules. I usually use modules for like inspiration. Like I will steal NPCs or steal like a trap or a concept from them. But I have a hard time following directions, even when I make my own directions for an arc. So I'm going to really try that. So fun is definitely the second most important thing for this arc to me following Tomb of Corridors, which is essentially me going through the Tomb of Horror module and rewriting it to make it a bit more, I think, a bit more conducive to podcast.
Yeah.
Definitely dialing down the sexism, misogyny, weird kind of body stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think making it more engaging of a challenge for the players to explore. So if you have read it, if you want to read the original Tomb of Horrors, you could probably find it on the internet somewhere in a very poorly scanned PDF because it's from the past and that's all they had. I'm basically doing a personal rewrite. There have been many people who have rewritten it. Dungeons and Dragons, like Wizards of Coast, has also
re-released it.
They re-released it and they called it something else. And then they also, there's like a follow-up because there's like an evil wizard there. I can't think of the name right now. Oh, that pissed me off.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, so it's been re-released, and the re-release also is like a much more, like it's like an actual adventure module. This is like a 20-page PDF, including maps and pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the vibe. So if you're looking to watch me attempt to run a module thing, which if you've listened to Unprepared Casters and heard the way I run things, we'll see how it goes. It's like my challenge for me. The other thing, though, is in original, like older D&D, characters are not really used in the same way we use them today. These days, you make your character, you have your blorbo. It's like, I'm going to commission 20 pieces of art. I'm going to learn how to draw to make my character. I will play this one guy over a 5-year campaign of 13 sessions, and I will form a huge investment in this character's life. Whereas an older D&D, especially for a game like this that was designed to be played at conventions, you're like, these bitches gonna die. Like, they're just gonna die.
I barely have time to name them.
Yeah. And like, you don't really get that invested because the objective is to get through the module. So for this, the original Tomb of Horrors can be played from anywhere from 2 to 10 players. And the idea was having, if you had fewer than like 8 players, you would have them manage multiple characters, max of 2. Because it was like 3 would be too hard even for a seasoned Dungeons and Dragons player, so leave it for 2, which it would be. And I think having people run 2 characters would actually be very difficult and maybe not great for a podcast where...
Difficult.
I already don't like when I have to make NPCs talk to each other, and I feel like that would be rude of me to make the players talk to each other in player character or cross-Jaegering or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have decided for this is to have... everyone have a roster of multiple characters, so when they die, the next one picks up the baton and moves on. So I know we've had other arcs of Unprepared Casters where we're like, hey, this is deadly. Whatever happens, happens. Character death is on the table. This one, they're going to.
They have to.
They have to. If they don't.
We are all coming in with 5 characters.
Yeah. And this is also a module that was set for levels 10 through 14. And so I'm also trying to adapt it for 2024. And I don't know if you guys know this, but in the past 50 years, a lot of the balancing in D&D has changed. So we'll see how good I am at doing that.
Yeah.
Other people have done it. I could probably look up resources, but I also just like... I don't know. This is good enrichment in my enclosure. I think actually quite a bit of this arc is really just Amelia enrichment. And then me asking my friends, do you want to be here for this and play around while I try and do something?
Die.
You want to come
for my mental stimulation?
Yeah. And they all like enthusiastically said yes.
Because we do very badly.
Yeah. So I do think, because I always say like, I'm going to do a happy arc this time. And then it becomes sad because I think there's something, I wouldn't say wrong with me as a person, but I do think it's something deep within myself that I can't change.
Yeah, so, there's sort of like a shard of you that is just slightly off center and it's always poking into all the other squishy bits.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't take that shard out. You need it.
And it is the poking. Like, it's like poking a bruise.
You're using the poking for power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is to say, I think because we're getting all of the death up front, I do think this one won't be as sad, maybe.
I think it's going to be incredibly lighthearted for being violent and full of death and murder.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Especially once we get to the second part of this episode where everyone talks about their concepts.
Yes.
Because
yes.
In my mind, I was like, oh, everyone is just going to like make a little adventuring party and we'll find some reason for them to only go in one at a time. And then each one of you was like, actually...
I figured out why mine is a relay race.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you doing the heavy lifting there.
Yeah. No, we were all very excited to do it.
Yeah. As far as like what you need for to understand this arc or context, we queued it up pretty much at the beginning. You don't need a whole lot of context from any other UC things. It's going to be pretty dungeon.
We're in Hyrenor. So we're in that world.
Because if you're familiar with Unprepared Casters, and if you know anything about the Tomb of Horrors module, we're not doing this shit in Malum.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine Malum just leaving this Tomb of Horrors to rot?
Yeah.
No.
This is a lot of OSHA violations, let me tell you. This is very dungeons, not so very much dragons.
Devastating.
Not a dragon.
That's okay. There was a lot of dragons and no dungeons in the last one.
Okay, great. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we were first the dragons, then the dungeons, and then we'll play some other system.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you also are more dragons and have a friend that's more dungeons, boy, do I have a t-shirt for you.
Oh my God, we could do a second run of those. I say second run as if they're not print on demand, but we could like rebrand it of like this Wild Things Dragons, Tomb of Corridors, Dungeons.
It's good because mine is the dragons one.
Well, and yours so is you called Wild Things, which dragons are. And dragons mine is called Tomb of Corridors, which is what a dungeon is. Oh, yeah. So the name Tomb of Corridors, obviously, it's a pun, like it's a play on words because of horror sounds like corridors. But also like reading the Tomb of Horrors, spoilers, not that many horrors, like a few horrors, a lot of death.
Mostly hallways.
Yeah.
So not a lot for context. We kind of already talked about the things that you're excited for this arc.
Well, obviously excited to play with new friends who I was like, do you want to play with me? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, do you want to hear anything about the game?
We are so blessed and often have to explain nothing.
Yeah.
We're just like, do you want to come on the show? People are like, yeah, I'll be on the show. We're like, oh, no, wait, let me earn it.
Yeah, and also like, hey, so, you know, yeah, I'll be on the show. Okay, so can I kill your character? It's like, when you're doing Session Zero, I was like, okay, so you've gotten to this point. We already know the pitch. You do have to be okay with player death. That is the whole thing happening here.
Raise your hand if you're okay dying. Okay, good.
I am excited to figure out what things have changed with D&D 2024, because I've not been looking, but there are some interesting things, especially with weapons. They've nerfed a lot of the classes, but that's a you problem, not a me problem right now.
They made some of them incredibly better, and then there's whatever the hell they did to druids that makes me so mad constantly.
Yeah, and it's like, is this more balanced? Probably, maybe.
I don't care. Let me have the hit points of the owlbear.
Yeah.
I need them for strength.
Well, I just want to be good at everything all the time.
No,
except
truly.
For like wisdom saving throws.
I don't need that.
I don't need that.
Possess me.
Yeah. Well, because I could die.
Yeah, generally just I'm excited. I'm excited to try and force you to churn through my characters.
I'm excited to do that. And I'm also excited to like follow the rules.
That'll be interesting. We'll see if we can manage it.
Because I'm so weak. I'm so easily suggestible by the players,
yeah.
Which is like true and fair. And I think you can be and maybe should be to an extent.
But yeah, I think all of us are really excited to die, though.
You're all really excited to die. And I, if listeners, you do not need to, like, and I let me tell you, like, reiterate this so much. You do not need to read through Tomb of Horrors in order to enjoy this or get this.
Yeah, and I haven't.
Yeah. And I'm not including everything, but there are certain things that if you are aware of what happens in Tomb of Horrors, it's going to be kind of funny to see it coming.
Sure. It's part of the reason I'm not going to read through it.
Yeah.
I might have my podcast. Though, just to compare.
But yeah. Yeah, I guess we should also maybe, I think we've talked through everything with Tomb of Corridor. Should we address the elephant in the room?
The fact that we're sitting in the same room after years and years apart.
Yeah.
I've missed you so bad.
I've missed you too. So much. It was actually like there was a time dilation. I've been gone for a really long time. It just circled back.
In the labyrinth?
Yeah.
I was wandering the labyrinth for like a couple days.
It was a little bit different for me.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I think I just ended up going in like a big circle because I didn't see anything and I assumed there would be something at some point.
Yeah.
So I think I might have even just doubled back on the same nothing a couple of times, but.
Okay. Yeah. That's,
here now.
That's, no, I, it was different for me.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't you didn't get like, what happened when you hit like a crosswalk kind of a.
Oh, and there was sort of just one way the whole time.
It's part
of the reason it sucked so bad.
Yeah, no creatures?
No creatures.
No,
I was alone the whole time. No. I sort of expected the Minotaur to at least like fuck with me once. And it was literally nothing. It was so boring.
And your shadow was like yours the whole time?
Yeah. It's kind of all I had for company.
Uh-huh. I did. Okay.
And not those things aren't true for you?
No. I mean, no. Yeah.
Okay.
No, definitely.
You're sure it was our labyrinth?
Well, I started in our labyrinth. I did start mapping it. I can't really look in the map, though.
Right.
Yeah, because my eye is filled with blood.
Yeah. No, you can kind of keep those to yourself, I think. I don't really want the blood eye maps.
Yeah, well, I mean, I drew them, and so I, like, but anytime I try and think about where I went,
yeah,
it doesn't, like, it's, I can't quite articulate it, you know, like, in three-dimensional space and time.
Right, and that was our labyrinth that did that to you.
Yeah. I mean, it was normal for like the first two levels, but once I started going up in
levels,
we're like kind of at a level zero here, and there's at least two above us, but I honestly lost track below us because the stairs kind of started cratering in on themselves, and it looked like an Escher painting sometimes, so it was hard to tell like how far it descended, and then there's like the pit, and it was kind of fathomless, so I really don't know if that was like a room where I couldn't see the walls, or if that was like, you know, if it's like a ballroom that's like
kind of like infinite
400 feet in either direction, is that four stories or is that one floor, or is it infinite? And if it's infinite, does that even mean that it's like taking up space.
You didn't, any space at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was sort of just counting stones as I walked because I had nothing else to judge distance by. Yeah. And it was the same the whole time.
I did find a shortcut to the break room, though.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's too far.
Well, and I thought that would be nice for, because, you know, the whole point was like to make it easier for guests to get in and out. And yeah. And so, yeah, that should be straightforward.
That's huge. Yeah. Worth it then.
Don't know what happened to my like cord of wire that I was using, though.
Oh, I should have done that.
And maybe not. It didn't help me.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Therefore, I was right all along.
Yeah. But
well, sorry that your maps aren't usable.
I think they are. I think I just need to spend more time with it, you know, like let the maps.
I think we're gonna throw them away.
No,
maybe.
No, you actually can't.
No,
I think I might have to.
No,
I'll kill you.
I'll figure out where you put
them. Kidding. I wouldn't do that.
No, I'll figure out where you put them. I just want to see them. I just want to look.
And you know, see how they make me feel.
Yeah.
Positive, I bet.
Yeah.
But I guess until then, until you can find them, we could just get everyone else in to record the episode.
Yeah, we'll get everyone else in and then we can show them around and then we'll sit them down and talk about how we're going to all die over and over and over again.
Okay, great. That sounds perfect.
All right. Yeah, let's bring them in.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so you're sure you labeled the way from the break room?
I labeled the way from the break room. I labeled the way from the lobby to the first hallway.
That's assuming they came in through the lobby.
What am I supposed to go through every single entrance to the labyrinth?
You're the one who was mapping the labyrinth.
You're the one who only gets one pass through the labyrinth every time you go.
So how am I? Okay. I can't map. I can't label all the entrances.
I can label the entrances. I can point people from any entrance toward the lobby, but I can't, like, I've tried making just a cohesive, like, you know, a path or signs, but really I can just give you the first turn that gets you toward the lobby. Every other time it's different whenever I go, so it really does, like, I've labeled it, but only the first one stays.
It's just weird because it is the same every time.
And it's not. And we disagree on this. But then once they get to the lobby, they can get to the first hallway. And ideally, in my experience, four times out of five, you can see the break room from there. And from the break room to here, straight shot.
So it's straight shot.
There's just a
every
few
time.
Things. And I mean, maybe they'll get a, maybe they'll be like you and it'll just be like consistent each time.
Right.
Or at least they have the first turn.
I'm just saying they're late. I'm saying they're late. And I think it's because we don't have enough signage.
Gotta tell you, I put a lot of fucking signage in that labyrinth.
I haven't seen any of it.
And of course you wouldn't. You won't look at my maps. You won't let me spend time pondering the maps.
Your maps made your eyes bleed.
It's my blood.
Back up. I don't want my eyes to bleed your blood either. Next point.
It would probably be your blood from your eyes.
Actually,
to be honest, I did have to practice before it started being my blood.
Oh, God. If you know the way so well, you should go see where they are. That's all I was going to say. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to the break room. Are y'all in the break room?
Sure.
Yeah, I am in the break room, actually.
Okay. You guys ready to... did you guys find this room okay?
Yeah, we've been here for like an hour.
Yeah.
Can you not?
We'll say I did get here like early and then explored, because there's a lot of signage around. Explored a little bit. Eventually did find my way to the break room.
Okay, cool. The studio's just across the hallway.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I found that a while ago. I came in here early for practice because I was told that I would be doing a sort of labyrinthine puzzle. So I thought that this would be good practice. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So the corridors are in the arc we're about to. Just come on. Come on. Just,
oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We should. Haley should be here for this. So the corridors. I understand. Those are in the arc. Yeah, they've just been in the break room for like an hour.
We should have checked that a while ago.
We probably should have checked. That's kind of on us.
You know, 9 times out of 10, if someone is missing at work,
you gotta check the break room.
First place I check.
Yeah, check the break room.
Bathroom is second,
you gotta
check the bathroom. Found that
place yet. Yeah, but Cyrus, can you repeat that thing you said about the signage for Haley?
Was it about how there isn't enough of it and maybe there is none?
I was just saying that.
How there's not enough and maybe none?
No, there's so much signage, mm-hmm. actually, that my curiosity peaked.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out if signage was accurate. And I did find that out. Mm-hmm.
And it was accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
However, there are some rooms unlabeled. I think adds a little whimsy, honestly. If I came 5 hours early, I should have came 10 hours early. It's kind of an wow. adventure in here.
And this is why I invited Cyrus.
Cyrus is locked
oh,
in.
Oh, and by the way, I guess I can introduce you to the people who have been talking this whole time.
Yes.
Since I alluded to Cyrus, you guys just heard me a minute ago, but I am still Amelia. I will be your dungeon master of the dungeon module Tomb of Corridors, not registered trademark, because we don't want any of that copyright smoke. Haley, I would like you to introduce yourself and answer my icebreaker question.
Oh, nice.
Which is, with what you know about the Tomb of Corridors / Tomb of Horrors,
okay,
what would it take to make you go in?
Ooh! Okay. Hello, everybody who has also heard me the whole time, including just a minute ago. My name is Haley Whipjack. I am not dungeon mastering the Tomb of Corridors. I'm going to be a series of guys who are going to live forever within it. And knowing what I know, which is, of course, that it is a thinking man's deadly labyrinthine puzzle.
I guess it did say thinking person, so we can give it to them for being hashtag inclusive.
That's so inclusive. They were so DEI.
As soon as I said that, I remembered other things in this module as it's written, and actually, no, I take it back.
No credit.
Not even as the joke.
No.
Nope.
I mean, I'm not necessarily good at labyrinthine puzzles or even like escape rooms.
You're great at escape rooms.
No, I am not. You have been in an escape room with me.
I had a great time.
You were great at the escape room.
Grace broke a door.
Yeah, clear difference between having a great time and being good at the puzzle.
Through sheer strength, Grace moved a bookshelf that was secretly a door.
That was magnetically, electromagnetically sealed. They're like, this should have taken like 200 pounds of force or something crazy, but... That's no match for Grace.
Wow. Like a mom Sorry. Lifting a car off a kid.
Literally.
Yeah, Grace just not wanting to fucking be in the escape room.
I want to leave.
Yeah. It was exciting because we'd been stuck for a long time and all of a sudden we were like, there's a secret door.
Yeah.
There's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
The escape room was mediocre. Anyway.
I've been to a lot worse. Well, it's great, and it's crazy. Yeah.
I think it would take maybe if I got like a true genie wish at the end.
Okay.
I think a promise of one true genie wish.
Okay, real.
Would get me through. Because I think if I picked like an amount of money the whole time, I would be like doing math in my head about other ways I could get that money instead of going through a series of saw traps.
Yeah.
But you can't get your one true genie wish from just, like, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, I think so. The problem with a pile of money is you either have the threshold of, okay, like, it's still worth it to attempt, and then you immediately at some point cross over into, like, okay, actually no amount of money matters if I'm dead.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you can do a lot with one true genie wish. So that's, I'm locking that in. I don't even need three.
Do you have any plans for your true genie wish, or you just like to keep that in your heart?
I think going through the saw traps, I'll come up with what I believe to be worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know.
They don't expire.
They don't expire. Well, it's a true genie wish.
You could hang on to that for a while.
Yeah. Exactly. Just like in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Just like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And that was actually my key inspiration for my adaptation of this module. I said, what if we did something so fun and then it never affected anything else that happened in Hyrenorm ever again? And maybe it directly contradicts the canon.
Just directly makes everything else make less sense. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, the Lich's gem somehow.
If she has no fans, I'm dead.
And
I mean, real, honestly.
A real thing that I private messaged to Ghost Rachel's.
And on that note, would you please, Gem Lovejoy number one fan, introduce yourself and answer my question. Sure. Also, we didn't say our pronouns because we say our pronouns all the time, but please share yours.
And we give real cop-out answers for them, too.
As much as possible.
I know this to be true. As a fan of this podcast, I know that to be true. Hi, I'm Stella Jo. I use she, her pronouns. And
from the internet.
From the internet, from twitch.tv/StellaJo, with three L's because I hate my audience. No. Yeah, you might know me from around the internet. I play a lot of video games and do various things all over the place. And I will also be playing a series of gals today. And for the remainder of the arc. And if I had to pick something that would get me to go into the aforementioned Tomb of Corridors, I mean, it's gotta be world peace, right?
Sorry, no, I didn't mean to laugh. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Amelia laughed. Did we pick that up? Amelia laughed at the promise of world peace.
It's just, what does that mean in practice? Well, sorry, it's your wish.
I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like guaranteed world peace and probably also just like a never-ending stream of matzo ball soup. Because I fucking love matzo ball soup, I guess.
Kind of equally of value.
What if the option was world peace is on the table, but no one ever gets matzo ball soup again?
God damn it. You've ruined me.
And you have to go through the saw traps.
And you have to go through the saw traps.
Yeah, wait. This is like too many. Like, and this and that. Like,
well, the whole premise was you had to go through the thing to get it. That was the first premise. And I'm just
the saw traps are kind of unavoidable.
I'm trying to engage in the space. What's more important?
Eradicating you. I'm not the eradication of one of my favorite foods on top of the saw traps, and I don't appreciate
it. Yeah, what I'm asking, I'm not saying that would happen if you went through here. I'm just asking, is it like world peace or matzo ball soup?
I think at some point Mills is going to make you canonize the deletion of your favorite food as part of the soul traps.
You're forcing me to pick world peace, because if I don't, I look horrible to the listeners.
Yeah, well, I already laughed at you choosing world peace, so I got to get something out of this.
World peace and Mills.
This is the arc where all of us get canceled.
Well, it's just notice how Haley could use their genie wish for world peace, but decided, I still want to keep it in the chamber in case something else comes up.
I got to keep my options open. What if I get all the way to the end and I ain't got no legs anymore or something, and I want to use my genie wish for legs? I don't know what happened.
Counterpoint. That's true. Counterpoint.
Thank you.
What if part of world peace involves everybody having unlimited matzo ball soup? What then?
And it could be then. And what a beautiful world that would be.
I just love soup so much. Just the thing about it.
Soup is great.
I just think that if everybody ate a bowl of soup, we can all chill out.
And it's crazy how often this podcast always comes back to soup.
It's so about soup all the time.
I also wanted to shout out Stella. If you guys have ever watched any of the UC charity streams, except for the first one, which was a struggle because we didn't have Stella managing all of the donations. Stella's our lesbian in the chair who makes that happen every single year, and I just want to give you a little shout out.
Literally could not do without.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, I probably should have introduced myself as the person that makes Brennan Lee Mulligan do a wild magic surge or whatever.
Yeah. People have
demands
been like,
demands things of Vic Michaelis.
I've heard this voice reference a deck pull before. And that, now they'll know.
Yeah.
Okay. And lastly, our favorite labyrinthine explorer.
Hey, I'm Cyrus. Every time someone asks me about my gender, the less I know about it. So I'm just going to go with they, them.
Yeah, that's pretty common
here.
Seems
stable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems pretty
Welcome
stable
to UC.
For me right now. Yeah.
Yeah, we got pronouns. And,
you know, surprise, surprise. Am I going to play a bunch of little guys? No. I'm going to play one little guy. Who's technically a bunch of little guys. And you know what's even more funny? You were like, hey, here's the question that I'm going to ask, which is, what do you want from the labyrinth? And I was thinking about it. And then Haley was like, one true genie wish. And I've spent the last like 10 minutes being like, damn, that's a really good wish. Like, that's a really good reward for the dungeon.
Yeah.
And thank you. I was going to say art supplies.
Those are expensive.
One genie wish can be used to get many art supplies.
Although, like, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Usually genie wishes do come with like a caveat. Like, you get what you want, but a little weird. Like, Haley's going to end up with like frog legs when they wish for legs or
when
something.
When I wish for a leg. And honestly, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Could jump,
you know,
real high.
If the monkey's paw had to like happen with my wish, it would be like, I'd be like, I wish for art supplies. And then the art supplies that I have would all come from Hobby Lobby and they would go out of business for the sheer loss of inventory from around the world.
Oh, I thought that your art supplies were going to come from Hobby Lobby and they were purchased and you had to live with the weight of what you've done. And it's like, no, your money specifically is funding terrorist groups that are doing illegal archaeological digs for a creationist museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, but instead I'm just robbing them.
Yeah.
And then they go out of business and they can never hurt anyone again.
I straight up thought you were going to say two genie wishes.
I did as well.
Wait, I changed my answer.
Like, no, genie wishes. Hold on, wait. Okay, all right. Actually, roll it back.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for asking me that question for the first time. I think what I want from the labyrinth is two genie wishes.
Or the, like, I also choose that guy's wife. Like, from the labyrinth, I want Haley's genie wish.
Yeah, I specifically, right after Haley makes their wish, will go. And my wish is to have that.
Yeah, I want to have specifically that version of it as well. I want that one to be mine. Thank you.
Yeah. Before we have everyone roll initiative and we get into characters, I did want to note, so we had our like actual session zero where we talked about safety things people did or did not want to include in the game. And that led me to writing the little summary of our campaign that I think the audience really should have.
Yeah, I like it.
Which is, get ready for consensual arrow ace death, lesbian optional, but highly encouraged. No romance, no sex, just lesbians.
It's about the energy.
It's about the energy. Right. So I hope people feel represented in a way that isn't bad when they all die.
It's not bury your gays if there's a million gays.
There's a million gays.
There's more anything, gays it's right outside. Gays. Don't worry.
We got another gay right on deck about to come in.
You can fit so many gays in this
employ
tomb.
Your gays. Believe in your gays.
Tomb crawling with gays.
Yeah. Got so many gays in this tomb, you would not believe.
Toe to toe.
Okay. Can everybody roll initiative?
Yeah.
That's a d20. I will allow you to add your personal dex score.
What does that mean?
Whatever you want it to mean. What's your dex?
100.
It's fine.
That's
Stella's is 100.
which would come out to like what, a plus 50 or like a plus 48 or something.
No, I think Stella's is plus 100.
Oh, plus 100. Okay. Well, then your dex score would be higher, but that's fine. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, Cyrus, what did you get?
I got a 14.
14. Stella, what did you roll on the die?
You don't want me to add my plus 100. I understand.
You can add your plus 100. Okay, so that's 116.
And 116 is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Haley, what about you?
I got a 4.
Did you add anything to it?
No.
Okay. So it's going to go Stella, then Cyrus, then Haley with 116, 14, and 4. Okay, Stella, pitch us the concept of your guys, parentheses, or asterisk, footnote, asterisk, lesbians.
Of course. Well, here's the thing about me is that in real life, I am also a lesbian. Shocking.
Wait, dead ass?
So everyone, dead ass. And everyone I play subsequently is also a lesbian because we love representation. We're also recording this on the day that Doji came out as a lesbian. So that's really
awesome.
So
a lot of W's here for the Willow Woo community.
Yeah. So
Willow.
So I guess I will introduce my five gals, and then I can go through and like name all of their like levels and stats and stuff like that, I guess. For all the nerds.
That reminds me of something I want to kind of talk about before you go and naming all their levels and stats. So the original Tomb of Horrors has like a suggested distribution of like, it has a character roster of what classes they should be. If you're playing with anywhere from 2 to 10 players, which ones will lead to a balanced party. So what we have done is taken those characters. Obviously, a lot has changed between Advanced D&D and D&D 2024. So namely, there's more than 4 classes and the classes are different. And there's also half these guys are humans and we're not doing that here. We just said we're gay with pronouns. Like there's no way, mathematically speaking. So everyone here has drafted from that list of characters. Everyone will only be playing one character at a time, but we've made analog characters that correlate to a character on the list. All this shit I'm going to probably put on the Patreon after. So people who are curious and want to know like how I ran this arc could figure it out, because it was a module that the guy wrote down once, so I'm a kind of a guy and I'm writing it down again.
A better guy, I would argue.
A better guy. A gayer guy. A lesbianer guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, please continue.
Start with your general conceit. Yeah, sure. Of your five guys, maybe, so, and then we can get granular.
My five guys, burgers and fries.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So
that would have been a funny thing if we weren't doing lesbians.
For sure.
Big V five guys.
Yeah, I mean, funny story. Abby and I were in a game in which we played fast food characters. Abby was Tim Horton, and I was 4 of the 5 guys. The 5th guy was going to be Jack in the Box's son, who I was planning to adopt after his father was murdered by Ronald McDonald.
Oh my god. Average Dungeons and Dragons experience.
Average Abby Kelly Dungeons and Dragons experience.
That too.
Okay, but your guys.
Do you want to meet my five women?
Strong, independent,
in STEM,
powerful.
Yes. So my characters are named Tilly, Lily, Millie, Billy, and Gilly, and these are the five really sacrificial sisters of the Alpha Kappa Mori chapter of the Arcane Academy, the premier magic academy located in, of course, the city of Glacaria. I am very, very excited about them. I'm very sad that they will probably all be gone by the end of this.
Yeah. I'm excited too, especially because I realized after that this module's level 10 to 14, which is really different in current day D&D than it is for old D&D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it is also worth noting for the audience that this is the first time I'm playing the 2024 rules. So be fucking nice to me. We're gonna figure it out.
Okay, can you tell us why are these sorority girls... Oh, actually, no. Tell us a little bit about Millie, Tilly, Billy, Gilly, and Lily?
I think that was correct.
Wow.
We'll never
I'm
know.
A professional.
Yeah.
There's no way to find out.
No way.
Yeah, so just going down the line, first up we have Tilly, who is a level 14 goblin diviner wizard. She is very small. She is very smart. She is so scared of this tomb and is so wanting to protect her friends. She wears a big purple scarf and a big, big, big wizard hat and very large glasses. And I love her. Lily is a level 4 halfling. She has 1 level of fighter and 3 levels of wild magic sorcerer. So we'll see how that goes. She is also very small. I love playing a little guy. She's got short blonde hair and bright blue eyes and is very, very pale. And she is ready to post up and fight and kind of doesn't understand why all this weird magic has been happening around her. So we'll figure that out when we get in there. Millie is a level 14 Eladrin. She is an autumn Eladrin. So, you know, the red hair, the orange eyes, etc. Other things that Eladrins look like. She's fairly like tall and slender and has very long sort of those like long, thin, pointy elf ears that go out really far. And she is a life domain cleric. Billy is a level 15 tiefling. She is a pink tiefling and she sort of has the goat motifs of devil kind. So she's got like a turned down nose and the sort of turned down big fluffy ears. She's got ram's horns that go sort of up and back. They don't curl like all the way back to the front, but they're curly. And she has pink skin, fur? Haven't decided yet. A little bit of both, maybe. She is level 15. We got 7 levels of Gloomstalker Ranger and then 8 levels of Assassin Rogue. So you will never fucking see her. But she is there. And then last but certainly not least, Gilly is a level 9 orc. She is so huge. She is so massive. She is bigger than any bard monk you have ever seen. She has 6 levels of the College of Dance bard and then 3 levels of Open Hand Monk, which I just thought would pair very similarly together. And these are my girls. They're all in a sorority together. The sorority has decided that they... We're gonna send some sisters out to try and, you know, find the treasure in this horrifying tomb. I do think all 5 of them thought they were going in, you know, together as a sisterhood, and then are kind of in for a rude awakening. So we'll see how that goes for them.
Okay. Anyone else have questions for the lovely ladies of Alpha Kappa Mori?
What was the like last group activity they all did together?
Oh, last group activity. That is a great question. I mean, probably just like house party, right? Yeah. Just like orientation week, house party. This is like at the very beginning
right
of the year.
Right after orientation.
Like right after rush. I have a question.
Yes.
If these girls die and their souls are not like, or I guess, and their souls aren't like passed to the beyond, do they still get fined if they miss the next chapter meeting?
No, I think your chapter dues are sort of like waived upon death. But I do think that it has been told to them, specifically in this sorority, that, you know, there is a strong possibility of some sort of weird reincarnation thing happening.
Yeah.
So they're all sort of expecting it and hoping for it.
Wow. This, I'm sorry, I know this isn't like the point of it, but like if reincarnation is on the table by being a member of the sorority, legacies must go insane.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean.
Yeah.
Is this like part of their philanthropy?
Yes. Okay. For sure. Yeah. You know, betterment of the realm, you know, ridding Hyrenor of evil. It's all part of it.
You've just like, okay, you guys, let's scrap this arc entirely because now you just awakened in me a deep desire to get out a lot of sorority angst.
Great. My college did not have any Greek life. One time a bunch of guys went to my dean and was like, can we start a frat? And he was like, straight up, no, just get an apartment.
If you want to live with a bunch of dudes, you can just do it.
It's legal now.
You can make that happen for yourself, but I'm not helping you. So no, I don't have any sort of Greek life trauma or backstory. I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah, my
Mills has enough for all of us.
I have enough for all. Actually, it was actually really fine. It was actually so fine, but it was expensive.
Yeah.
So fine. Emphasis on the fines. Yeah, no one in my chapter.
And
like,
I believe it.
Yeah. The long story short is that people in my chapter like to miss things, so everyone was just like, yeah, I'll just pay the fine. And so they had to budget the fact that they would have surplus income from the sheer amount of fines people accrued from not going to meetings.
Realize.
Because usually the idea is you put a stupid expensive fine so people have to do the thing, and then someone's like, eh, I'll pay $60 bucks.
I was like, what if I just put money aside to miss that meeting because I really don't want
to
go?
Yeah, I just lied about having to do RA stuff.
Real commitment to the sorority, it sounds like.
Hey, it's not 4 years, it's for life. So,
stealing that.
That's how people know it's real. Cyrus, speaking of real, let's hear.
I am a real person.
You are a real person, and you've got five real guys. Let's hear about them.
Yeah.
Parenthesis, asterisk, footnote, asterisk, lesbians.
Yeah. I'm playing Valentine, Magistrix Valentine Rosalie. Imagine you're in school, and you're like, I have an idea so great. And then your professor is like, that idea is really bad. We should redirect it. And you're like, no, you're just trying to steal my good ideas and get me to do something
else. I'm Elizabeth Theranos.
That is literally what happened to Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And now she's best friends with a housewife.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, it seems like it worked out for her.
Well, yeah, and it'll work out for Valentine too, I'm sure. So, you know, imagine you drop out and you're like, I'm actually, now I'm gonna do my own thing, very Miles Morales. And then your own thing turns into you being a self-taught level 16 barbarian wizard. Who's like, you know what would really like be one of my greatest achievements? Specifically owning one lich hand.
Wait, what's the breakdown between the barbarian and the wizard there?
5 into barbarian, 11 into wizard. I figured, you know, strong enough to defend myself, but that's not the main reason why I'm here. Should I end up without spell slots? I do still have options.
Just start smashing.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Just get mad. In Valentine's hubris, has binded themselves unknowingly to several other spirits. And you know, the indomitable tiefling spirit really, it will shine in this, I think, because along with this level 16 barbarian wizard, we also have within ourselves a level 6 ranger of the Fae Wanderer variety, a level 12 paladin, Oath of Ancients, a level 8 fighter champion, And just for, you know, because all things are cyclical, a level 11 barbarian monk, 6 levels in monk, 5 levels barbarian.
Hell yeah. Okay, and you mentioned contain within ourselves. Can you, like, clarify that for the listeners?
Like, do all of us have that?
Yeah, are we all 5 people
inside
in one?
Inside of you is 5 Valentines. You know,
I think it's like, what was that movie, Lucy, where they're like, you only use like 10% of your brain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except Valentine is using 10% of 5 people's brain. It doesn't make you smarter. It just makes your thought process more diverse and make less sense.
It's like, I'm not smarter. I'm stupid faster.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, to clarify, as one dies, then the other kind of comes to the front.
Which I've manifested in 5 wildly different personalities.
Okay.
And problem-solving skills. But all with the same equipment.
Same equipment, same stats?
Or yes.
Are those okay.
I can't wait to play Ranger with 14 strength. 10 dexterity and 15 intelligence.
Whoa. The perfect ranger stats. Everyone's always saying that.
A little touch, 11 wisdom. I'm not adding shit to anything.
A skosh of wisdom.
Just a touch. a sprinkle, if you will.
Just enough.
Yeah, did you end up doing the standard array, or did you point by your way?
I point bought my way to this. This was an intentional one.
Wow. Okay, cool. Stella, did you do standard on your ladies?
Absolutely, I did.
You're like, I'm not doing this 5 times.
I respect my time, yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah. Funny enough, it did all equal out to all of them having the same stats. Maybe like 1 or 2 like slight changes, but like...
Unless you're like aggressively min-maxing,
No. I just think it would be funny that, you know, someone wakes up a ranger with absolutely no skill, but they've got the heart.
I mean, hey, we've all had nights like that, am I right? Any other questions for Cyrus' character, parentheses, S, close parentheses?
Lesbian?
Asterisk.
Yeah.
Footnote, asterisk, lesbian.
I'm just so curious if this has happened before.
Yeah.
Like, before the adventure? Like, how often is this happening
to this guy? Other spirits that are dead? Like, have you started out at 5, or have we worked our way down to 5 through trial and error?
I really do think a lot of people would probably say Valentine isn't really the same person she was when she was in school. They probably mean that figuratively. However, it is literal.
Wow. Mm,
Valentine accidentally got herself killed in wizard school, then had an entirely new spirit in them and was like, okay, well, I'm done with this.
That clearly didn't work out, so I'll just do something else.
Got you killed in wizard school. Can't have been the right thing to do.
Like, maybe it's time to just go independent.
Yeah.
Does Valentine know that this is happening? Like, the spirit that is at the forefront, are they aware there's other spirits in there ready to take over?
I think they do, and I think inside of the spirit cage, that is... Valentine's soul is pretty hostile in there. I think they're all flying, waiting for the chance that this body dies so that they can resurrect it with their own soul. They're making plans, all right? They're like, man, when I get in there...
And they all sound really
friendly. I remember we have like a sandwich in the fridge. I really want that.
Will be mine.
I want to experience sandwich.
Exactly, yeah. A soup, if you will.
Haley, that brings us to you.
To me?
Yeah. What are your guys, asterisk, footnote, asterisk, lesbians?
Yeah, well, I did bring a whole he-him into mine. I'm so sorry about that, guys.
He can be a lesbian.
Guys. He can be. Benoit's a lesbian. Anyway, so I was told we're doing like a tomb of corridors. There's like a big lich at the end. A lot of spoilers. Necromantic energy. You said it earlier.
It's in the monologue.
And the one over there said they're getting a lich hand. Don't. But I thought to myself, well, who wants there to not be a lich anymore? Who's maybe not wanting there to be evil necromancers all over the place. And I thought about my good old friend, Constance
Your Gable. Least favorite character you've ever made.
My...
That you never return to. This is crazy.
Yeah, that I've never thought of once before. My best friend, Constance Gable, who is... she's got a different moniker she goes by these days.
Yeah.
You might have heard of her. She's the Raven Queen.
Okay, it's pretentious.
But I thought, you know, she has an established history in this world of sending folks out to do her bidding. Mostly if they're Bombixes, but there's others around as well.
Surely.
So all five of my guys have been tasked by the Raven Queen to enter this tomb. And I say all five. The first one has been tasked... And then if that guy fails, the second one will be thrust into the task in their place.
I like the idea that it's not even like she's intending to like replace it. She's like, well, I'm going to send my finest soldier onward.
Yes.
And he'll be fine and I'm going to go do other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when he dies, mm-hmm. it's like, well, shit, I guess I'll send my new finest soldier onward.
Yes, I am starting with my highest level character. Because Constance is sending her best, and then we will slowly be going down the ranks as we go. So maybe it'll just be my first guy the whole time.
It could be. If I'm not good at this, because you guys are really high levels, and it is actually... Not even joking, famously so difficult
it's
to
so
do a dungeon
hard.
Crawl at high levels, mm-hmm. but... I mean, I know I'm not one to be prideful in my abilities, but I really think that I can do this.
Yeah. No, and I'm really proud of you for believing in yourself just now for the first time.
Yeah.
Finally. So I'll take you through my lineup that I've got going here.
Mm-hmm.
My first character who will be entering the tomb, her name is Starling Revel. She is an elf. She is level 18, but 7 of those levels are in Ranger, Circle of the Land. 5 of them are, no, sorry. 5 of them are in Druid, which is Circle of the Land. My Ranger levels are Beastmaster.
Sure.
And 6 of them are Great Old One Warlock. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think I have to kill the heavy characters like immediately.
Whoa.
Because I think if you make it far, you're just gonna keep living.
I don't think I'm gonna live forever. I have 191 hit points.
And we like her so much is the thing about
yeah.
it.
And
so why
she's a very socially awkward hermit gardener with a horse. She has a horse also. Her beast friend is a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This dungeon really
the horse will be coming into the tomb. I think so. I think he brightens up the room.
Yeah, I'll be
Does
honest.
The horse have a
I
name?
I didn't bring any horses,
Canary.
So.
Hmm? It's Canary.
Thank God.
It's Starling and Canary.
Oh,
we're putting some birds
yeah.
in here.
Yeah. Canary in the corridor.
That's right. And also all 5 of my characters have the same feet. They all have the shadow-touched feet. Just so you know, Amelia, which means I can just go invisible a lot, mostly. Mostly it means I'm really good at being invisible. Yeah. So if the going gets really tough, I can just sort of go transparent and get out of there.
Well, luckily, as we established off recording, this is a thinking person's module.
And I'm thinking,
yeah.
if nobody sees me... I'm
full of
get
tricks
out
and tricks and
I'm
traps
thinking,
and
I want to be invisible,
monsters, except yeah. for when there are monsters.
Yeah. And you know, in the event that there's a monster, every single monster will witness the horse. You know,
the horse can't be invisible, unfortunately. Also because of that shadow touch, shadow magic, all of my characters can cast inflict wounds, no matter who they are. That's another fun fact.
Cute.
And that's from their best friend, Constance Gable. So yeah, we're starting with Starling Revel, level 18, Ranger Druid Warlock, the most overwhelming character sheet I've ever made. And then if somehow Starling dies, which won't happen, she will be swapped in for Reign, R-E-I-G-N, like the Reign of Kings, who's a gnomish bard sorcerer. 9 levels of bard, 7 levels of sorcerer, so going down from 18 to 16. And Reign is exactly the sort of confident extrovert that a bard sorcerer has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somehow Reign dies, which again, won't happen,
yeah,
then she'll get swapped out with Benoit Boulanger, who is a big blue dragonborn barbarian. 13 levels of Path of the World Tree barbarian, because I thought it'd be fun to try a new barbarian subclass, even though I, of course, won't get the chance because Benoit's never going to get swapped in.
Uh-huh.
You're making a face at me. You know this to be true.
Perhaps.
And then...
it could happen, I suppose. I'm running a clean fight, you know?
I will say nobody's got quite as many hit points as my first guy. Benoit's not too bad. Benoit's rocking 122 hit points. And then if somehow Benoit dies, seems even less likely than before, he will be swapped in for Magenta, who's a tiefling rogue, also a pink tiefling. I thought it was really cute. We've got just pink tiefling parties going on in here. Cute.
It's because of the lesbian. Yeah.
It's because of the lesbians of it. She is 11 levels of Soul Knife Rogue. She does only have 47 hit points, so you might kill her. You might.
Maybe.
If we get to that point.
And if you do, you're going to be left with my final character, a level 7 Oath of Devotion Paladin, Evandria Stormlight, who is an Asimar, but looks like a little owl person. It's like 2.5 feet tall and all big eyes and heavy armor and a sword and the light of love in her heart. And you can't kill her. That's illegal. She's too cute.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. We had like a whole conversation. Well, I pitched the arc. Uh-huh. And then we had a whole conversation of like, what things do you want or not want to see in the game? In which I explicitly said, hey guys, you're gonna have to be cool with character death because that's a huge part of this. And if you're not, I might invite you back for a different arc that doesn't involve character death so implicitly.
Right. Mills, I think you're reading this situation in a weird way. We never said that we were not okay with character death. I think we're just very confident that we won't get to that point.
You know? Somebody won't die.
Sorry.
Yeah. Starling Revel's making it to the end.
Yeah.
She's too powerful.
And that's so true. And you guys are all gonna do your best and maybe it will be good enough. I do want to again disclaim for listeners that you have been introduced ever so briefly to 15 characters, all of whom I'm sure will be a delight, I hope, to listen to in this podcast. You can get as attached as you want, but just know it might not end happy. However, that being said, in a shocking turn of events, I do think this is going to be the least sad arc I've run.
Yeah, probably.
Due to all of just getting the murder dungeon out in front of everything. I think that's the key. I keep trying to make normal things not be sad, and instead, I just need to kill everything all the time.
Just coming in with meat for the grinder.
I'm okay with character death, but I draw the line at being meat. I don't want to be meat.
Awful news for you about the realities of the flesh.
Is there an option to be composted?
I went. Yeah,
I want to be turned into a tree.
That's why the lich like kills people in the dungeon just for their compost pile.
Yeah, and that's real.
I love that.
Okay, does anyone else have anything they want to add about their little guys, asterisk, footnote, asterisk, lesbians?
It's too many asterisks.
Yeah,
No, it's an asterisk at the top of the page, and then the bottom of the page is where you see what the asterisk means.
See, yeah, you're following it down. Yeah.
Asterisk, go down to the footnotes. There's another asterisk. You see lesbians.
Because, I just think you know, maybe there's multiple shouldn't be demoted to the footnotes.
No, I'm putting them right down there with world peace.
Wait, I changed my answer. Everyone's a lesbian.
It's too late. It's too late. You got your world peace in your mods.
You idiot. You freak.
You know, if I'm adding anything about my character, it's that at any time, Valentine is wearing demonious, just chunky black boots.
Big stompers.
Yeah. I can't wait for them to be stolen.
In that case, I would love to read you all the legend of the Tomb of Corridors, which you are getting despite each of none of you saying that you what is it? None of you have consulted sages. You have not cast legend lore spells. You have not found the information in some arcane work or whatever.
Found this dungeon through vibes alone.
Or whatever.
Or like, you know, whatever other things people do to find secret lore.
Could you
know,
imagine, the tomes. Could you imagine if there was a modern D&D module where they just threw it or whatever in there?
And I wish they would. Somewhere, under a lost and lonely hill of grim and foreboding aspect, lies a labyrinthine crypt. It is filled with terrible traps and fearsome monsters ready to ensnare all who dare enter. Whether they were created for this end or sought it out, who can say? Stories abound of treasures, wealth beyond compare, the kind of power that only comes from ancient magics long forgotten, and answers to questions asked by poor souls with nothing else to lose save their very life. There are more rumors than truths in the stories of this tomb, and it is hard to say which is more fearsome. The legend of a Demolich of power incomparable has whispered past each of your ears, alongside the tales of those fallen in her wake. Of course, no one has ventured toward the final chamber where Rashikar Tarak lingers, fought her, and lived to tell the tale. So perhaps the accounts detailing all of the traps, the poison gases, and magical protections are as much hearsay as anything else. Perhaps you are well enough prepared for what lies ahead. Perhaps you are different than the others. Perhaps you will not all die. Perhaps you will not fail. And for those of you listening, Rashikar Tarak is spelled race car track with apostrophes on either side of the T.